Blog Talk Radio.
Take a Run Productions.
This show is brought to you by the Unknown Radio Network, consisting of the very best selection of paranormal internet radio shows anywhere on the web. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Unknown Radio Network.
Welcome to Unknown Paranormal Radio, right here on the Unknown Radio Network. I'm your host, Kevin, of Unknown Paranormal.
I'm Martin of Bravo Paranormal.
And this is Jeff of Unknown. Feliz Star Wars y Cinco de Mayo.
Hey, so I read today that yesterday was May the 4th be with you, right?
Yep.
And then today's Cinco de Mayo.
Yep.
And then tomorrow people are going to try to introduce a new holiday, which is Revenge of the Sixth. Like another Star Wars holiday, you know?
Nice.
Damn.
Nice. I'm going to do that in my classroom.
You can go dress up like a Sith to your to your class.
Exactly. There goes my new educator name is Darth Sturl.
Nice.
Wow. God.
That actually kind of fits. You got a nice little flow to it.
It does. I shall require everyone to refer to me as that from now on.
Oh, man.
So what's been going on with everybody? Martin, what you been up to?
Oh, man. I got invited out to Tech's Park. They did not really a ghost walk, but more of like a, you know, people could pay to go investigate Chestnut Square in McKinney, Texas, which is pretty cool because it's like six buildings you get to go walk around I was given access to parts of these buildings that the general public wasn't given access to. And the cool thing was that the actual, not the owner, but the protector of the properties, he was like, as soon as you get done with this building, let me know, and we'll go to the next building, and you can, you know, keep shooting pictures. So I got to go through all the buildings by myself, like with nobody around. So it was just me, my recorder, and my camera. So it was pretty cool. I got some pretty cool shots out of it.
Yeah. Very nice.
Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah.
What have you been up to, shit nut?
Well, first of all, don't call me that anymore. As I just told you, I shall henceforth require everyone to refer to me as Darth Sturl. You can call me Lord Sturl if you want to, you know, if you don't want to say Darth.
Lord Sturl. Oh, man.
Last weekend, an original play that I wrote called Execution debuted up at my alma mater of Texas A&M Commerce, and I went up to see it. And
hey,
I don't mind saying it was awesome.
Nice. Ken, I have a question. Can I call you Obi Jeff Kenobi?
No, I'm a Sith Lord, not a Jedi.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Truly, we have a Vader thing on here, don't we?
now. We need to.
Well, I'm about to fix that.
I'm going to have like a Vader soundboard.
Oh, yes. I can look that up.
What was I going to say? Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, speaking of, might as well, since we're on the subject, they had this thing posted that Harrison Ford got pissed on Jimmy Kimmel and walked off. And I was like, what in the hell with Harrison? So I looked it up, and it was a comedy bit is what it was, but it was really funny because Oh, it was really funny because he was doing the interview and he's asked him about Star Wars, the episode 7. And Harrison said he couldn't comment on him. And then he's like, well, is it okay if we take some questions from the audience? And he goes, yeah, that's fine, but don't talk about Star Wars. And then he's like, okay. Well, the camera pans around, and the first guy, of course, is in a Star Wars outfit. He's dressed as a Jedi, and Jimmy goes, now, remember, you can't ask about Star Wars. Well, everybody's laughing, you know, because he's dressed as a Star Wars figure. And he goes, so do you like being in the movies? And looks at Harrison, and he's like, yeah. And then it goes to the next person, and it's a dude dressed as Princess Leia. He's got a beard, and he's fat, got his gut hanging out, and he goes, what's your favorite food? And he's like, Italian. And he sits down, and then the camera pans around again, and Chewbacca stands up, you know,
nice.
Fully dressed Chewbacca, and he talks, you know, in his Chewbaccan language, and Harrison goes, don't give me that. And then he said something else, and then Harrison goes, she was my wife. And Chewbacca said something else. And he goes, you know, he cussed him out, and then he said something else. And then Harrison looked at Jimmy Kimmel and goes, you know what, I'm out of here. And he stands up to walk off, and he turns and points at Chewbacca, and he goes, I'll see you in hell, and walks off the stage.
Nice. I got to watch that.
Apology accepted, Captain
Nita. Oh, nice. God. You got your soundboard up and going?
Yeah.
No, I am your father.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. I wish I could.
No,
I wish that was like
separation.
My everyday voice.
Right.
What is thy bidding?
Darth, I'm going to come over there and kick your ass if you don't shut up so I can talk.
I'm standing crew aboard. I want every part of this ship kept.
Oh, Lord. Well, anyway, Unknown Paranormal, we're going to Arkansas in 2 weeks. To investigate an old tuberculosis hospital. It's 10 stories.
Nice.
It had over 20,000 deaths. Pretty active. We had rocks thrown at us. We had two girls scratched, one girl grabbed. And we're going up there and doing an investigation alongside Larry Flaxman and Art Pass. So that should be really cool. I'm excited to see what's going to go on there. So yeah, that's coming up. And then this weekend, going on a camping trip to a four-wheeler park and ride four-wheelers and go mudding all weekend. So a little kind of vacation, relaxing. I took off Friday and I took off Monday, so I get a little break. So
heck yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty much that. And also, for people that want to buy tickets to the Ghost Con, they're already up, they're on sale, they're online. You want to buy your tickets online if you can, because they're going to be more expensive at the door. So we're offering a discount if you buy them online this year. And you can go to www.easttexasghostcon2013.eventbrite.com. And that gives you all the information on that. It's in October. So get your tickets now. So they're cheap.
Tell you what, man, October's coming up pretty quick. I mean, it was May before I even knew it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Ah.
Yeah, this year has gone by.
Huh? What, Jeff?
I said the year has gone. Who?
Oh, Lord. But anyway, tonight our guest is Natalie Poole, and I had the pleasure of interviewing her on Terrify Radio last year, and she was on second season of Ghost Hunters Academy. She's got a team that she co-founded, and they develop a lot of new equipment and whatnot. And let me read a little bit more here. Like I said, she was on Ghost Hunters Academy. She's a paranormal investigator. She's a sound engineer with a degree in computer science. She's passionate for doing things the right way when dealing with the unknown. Her and her team have been developing new equipment and theories for investigating the paranormal. And get ready for this, because Martin, you're going to get your mind blown here.
All right.
Let's bring her on.
All righty.
Natalie,
hello. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you? Can you hear me?
Good. So for the folks that don't know much about you, give us a little background on, you know, how you got into the paranormal and whatnot and where you are today.
Well, my interest in paranormal events and things that happened started when I was very young. The first experience I had, and my introduction to doing it and investigating with other people came just, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago. Of course, you know, finding out from TV shows that, oh, other people look for answers too, and you're not a weird kid that, you know, people make fun of looking to go bump in the night. So I, you know, quickly started a group. I also joined another group. And I've just been pounding away at whatever evidence solid, trying to dismiss as much as we can, just debunk, you know, try to rule everything out before we go further with the theory of where these interesting things that we encounter come from.
Right. Now, you got a background in computer science, right?
That's my day job, yes. I'm a programmer by day, so.
If I remember, because you had one of your teammates on the show, the other show that I was on, she's a programmer or something like that? Because I know between the two of you, you're able to build a lot of stuff.
Oh, she's a forensic analyst, forensic chemist. She does a lot of... and she's a biologist too, so she has that side. Like we have between the two of us, our technical and programming and life science skills all kind of end up being a nice complete, not perfectly complete because we always like to have help from others in our group, but it's a good core.
Right, right.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and I know, I can't remember because it's been a while, but I know y'all were working on different ideas for equipment or different things that y'all were going to test. Have y'all gotten any further on any of that?
Did we talk about the EEG path that we were working on with, we went out and bought this. I heard you talking about the Star Wars jokes before I came on, but I actually bought one of the mind power, use the force, whatever, you know, use the Jedi force to make this ball levitate, you know, more things.
Nice.
And we took out the EEG chip in it, which is actually, what it'll do is it'll output the electric signals that it's sensing from your, that you're giving off, your delta waves, beta waves, et cetera. So rather than go spend thousands and thousands of dollars or a lot of thousands of dollars getting like an MRI machine or, you know, something like that, we've been working on that for a while and kind of hit a little bit of a roadblock with some construction going on the property that we have our little lab set up at. But we're waiting to take that to the next level because we want to start monitoring people's biorhythms and people's what's going on inside the body when people are experiencing phenomena. And if, you know, there's a group of people, what's going on with everybody's bodies, not just what's going on outside, but we want to measure what people are feeling, you know, who's energy, you know, who's got more, you know, is in more of their, you know, subconscious mind or whatever is going on with their brainwaves when this occurred. You know, it would be nice to see if it's, you know, poltergeist activator. We don't know. Is it something we emanate from ourselves that we make manifest, like we create our own reality, and maybe we create our own paranormal events too?
Yeah, that was one of the things that I'm starting to subscribe to, is that more and more people are creating their own hauntings, and they're, because this is going to sound crazy and weird, but I actually, not too long ago, I witnessed a shootout, you know, and I thought this guy like got killed, and he was like 50 feet from me, and you know, as an investigator, I always had my recorder on me, so I had my recorder going. And then on my recorder, I got this guy saying that he shot his wife, and then he said his wife's name. And I was like, whoa. And when I got home, I was like totally blown away. And then I looked up the name that I was given, and it was, sure enough, it was his wife's name. But then, you know, I thought he had passed away on site. And then a couple of days later, I found out he was in critical condition. So he never died.
You just told everybody, but have you actually, like, officially told someone, like,
I haven't told law enforcement anything like that. They know, I mean, they know he killed
his
wife.
They know he's a guy. Oh, okay. He didn't just get shot for some random, like,
car chase up there.
It was crazy because he found out his wife was cheating on him, and then he, like, shot her to death at a theater or something, and then shot her boyfriend a couple of times. And then when he left there in a hurry, and he was headed from one city to the next and got tagged by a state trooper. And then when the lights went off, he called 911 himself. And he said, "I'm a cop. I just shot my wife. She's dead, and you're not going to take me alive tonight." And that turned into this super huge chase, and I just happened to be there when it happened, you know. But it was in Greenville, Texas.
Huh.
Well, the shootout ended up in Greenville, but it started in Rockwall, Texas.
Rockwall, yeah.
But the crazy part about it is that, you know, I should not have gotten those EVPs because, you know, if we go along the lines of you only get EVP when people pass away, those should have never showed up on my recorder, right? But now it's kind of been bringing more into question, like, how, you know, because everybody on Earth is made of spirit, you know? So how are we... You know, how far are we able to project, like, say, thoughts and images and stuff like that? So one of the things that I wish I could do is go meet up with him in jail and talk to him and see if he had, like, an OBE or something, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Experiences. Oh, wow. That would be really interesting. Not tell him what you experienced on your side, but just say, you know, you're a journalist, whatever. What do you experience when you get shot? And just let him say what he's, you know, and just see what he says and go, oh, my goodness. it would be
so cool, but even if I went and visited him, I would not be able to bring, like, any type of recorder or anything like that so I could document it, you know?
Oh, yeah. I've never been to a jail. I hope I never get to go to one. I wouldn't like to. One of my biggest fears is jail. I mean, I don't do anything that would get me put in one, but it's just dark places, like negative places with a lot of negativity, just... very hard for me to, like, leave behind. Like, last weekend, the girl that was on last time with me, Michelle, my partner, we went to, I'm not sure, I think you're in a 323 area code, so you know where the Hotel Cecil is, right? Where that girl was found in the water tank.
Yeah,
she was in the water tank for like 3 weeks, and nobody can find who killed her or how she got into the water tank. It's just a mystery. She was just 3 weeks, you know, sitting there.
Oh, man.
Hotel Cecil, right? And this hotel is like one of the most dark, depressing, like...
Right? Yeah.
It's like a hungry, negative thing, and it's just because it's like the first floors are all nicely decorated, the lobby is beautiful, and then you get to these upper floors where, like, the paint's kind of crumbling, and it's, like, puke greenish-yellow, and you can hear, like, babies crying and people fighting, and I read reviews on, like, TripAdvisor, too, just to see, am I seeing all this in my head, and people were actually typing this stuff in, like, oh, my God, puke on the door and the coroner stamp on the room next to me, but I just decided to go to sleep anyway, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, how do people live in that? I don't know.
Right? Oh, that's crazy. I never thought to check out TripAdvisor and see what people say about certain buildings.
That's a good idea, like hotels and stuff, if had any interesting experiences or bad experiences.
Yeah,
you know, talking about what our body does, you know, I've said it a long time on the show with Martin and Jeff. We spent a lot of time searching for spirits and collecting data, you know, from spirit activity. But not too many people are monitoring what happens when a human has that interaction with the spirit, right? What goes on in their body? Are they creating things? Are they helping manifest something? You know, those kind of things. And I always found that was very interesting, you know?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Everything has to be monitored, the whole internal and external environment.
Yeah, one of the things that I always wondered, like, say you go into, like, I don't know, like some old hospital, right? And you're doing an EVP session, and then you're like, okay, so, and then you pick up, like, I don't know, you pick up some medical tool, like a scalpel or something, and you're like, what am I holding in my hand? And then you get an EVP right there that says scalpel. Now, is that a true EVP, or did you predisposition yourself to make that EVP happen, you know?
That's a good point. I like that.
That's one of the things that have been kind of, like, messing with me lately, because I try to think, you know, because you want to go to a location, and you're like, oh, this place is going to be haunted, but is it haunted because you paid the money to go there, or is it haunted, like truly haunted, and you're just getting all pure evidence, you know?
Yeah, and you know, people that go there, of course, the way it is and it looks and how it feels generates that initial sense of, ugh, this doesn't feel good. So other people go there and they don't feel good, and it leaves that, like, cycle of everybody going there not feeling right, you know? It kind of leaves behind that residual energy that just kind of boosts that signal for when you do have that thought and you're doing that EVP session, that maybe it's just ever so much stronger than it would be like sitting in the living room.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the only way that would be possible, versus in my opinion, is if we can show that brain waves can turn into sound waves.
Oh, that would be cool.
And to my knowledge, nobody's proved or disproved that yet.
And that's kind of along the lines of what we want to do with the EEG. And our little hack thing we've got going is we want to be able to kind of measure and monitor all levels, input, output, coming from and going to the person, and transpose them into different mediums too. Like, hey, what happens with this signal we're getting, and if we boost it up, like an oscillator, I guess we'll do with that, right? You know, put it on different frequencies. Just because it comes in is one thing. You're not going to hear it like that. You're going to have to transpose it because it may not be, you know.
Right.
Hear it in different light, in different lights. Everything moves in waves, but you can slow that down or speed it up to see what the code is. Like, read between the lines kind of thing. How is that message? I don't know.
Yeah.
It gets kind of It hurts the head kind of sometimes.
Man, I've heard that a few of the folks over at MIT were able to tap into to brain waves, and they're actually able to put a display, like, you know, have a monitor showing what your thoughts actually look like. And mm-hmm. it's pretty crazy because, you know, people are thinking about, like, flowers and, you know, roses and people at beaches and stuff, and then these images are showing up on a screen. And the weird thing is, like, they never show up, like, clear. They're always, like, a little blurry.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't wait till they can figure it out, harness it, and then make it portable, you know? Because how cool would it be to go to, like, you know, a haunted location, and then you wire somebody up, and you're like, they actually did see a shadow person here. They weren't talking about it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that would be really neat. I'm watching a show series right now called Fringe. I just started it. Oh, my goodness. Like the third episode in, they did something with someone who had passed away with their retina, with their eyeball, and they pulled it out, and they were able to pull the last image that person saw
off the
retina, you know? And, you know, it's kind of along those lines to help them find out who the killer was and where the bridge location was that person was looking at. So they zeroed in. But anyways, that cutting-edge technology is amazing, and I can't wait for it. But at the same time, there's the dark side of the usage of it, which is, you know, a lot of the time it's not created for what we use it for. We get it, like, 20 years later after the military is already used for what it wants.
Right. When it shows up on future weapons, you know. I've noticed that some of the weapons that show up on future weapons, the military has already been using for, like, 5 years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, since I talked to you last, what my team's doing is we're kind of backtracking as far as we're testing earth elements. We're testing fire, water, rocks, you know, all those kind of elements, and bring them into a haunted location and see, using all the equipment, you know, to monitor the environment, to see what happens when you introduce one of these elements into the investigation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think so many teams that are out there, they just do the same old, same old. They go in,
mm-hmm.
walk around with an EVP recorder, some equipment, and try to collect data, and that's pretty much it.
Yep.
And my team decided at the end of this year that we already know there's spirits out there. We already know there's a lot going on that we can't understand fully. And we've reached that point where we got to get more motivated, right, in the field, and bring a little bit more different excitement to the field. So we decided to try to do some things that other people are not doing. I know Didi's got a it's called a Tibetan singing bowl. I don't know if you've ever heard one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're gonna bring it in to a location and see if we can shake up the sound waves in the place. And Martin and I have talked about a real low bass frequency speaker that we bring into a location and try to recreate, like,
17 to 19 hertz. You have that low frequency. It's called, like, the paranormal frequency.
Yeah,
basically what I want to do is bring in, like, a speaker cab large enough to, once we set off the you know, the bass drop or the frequency, it acts like it wants to shake the house apart, you know.
Mhm.
But I want to, like, I don't want to rile up the spirits or anything like that. I just want, you know, them to be like, oh God, what's going on, you know? And then
ring the doorbell.
Yeah, and then compare the evidence that night as opposed to, like, we went back the second night, you know.
Yeah,
I've been doing a lot of research too, just asking local mystics in shops are around. I mean, we don't rule out anything as far as trying it ourselves to see if it works. We're like, hey, you know, if it's this, it's that. Someone says that's hoo-ha. Someone says, oh, that looks like it's evil. It's like, you know what? This is science. if someone else is using it and says it works, we're going to try it. You know, we've done everything from smoking a cigarette while drinking some wine and putting funny hats on and you know, just because someone said they experienced something and the person seemed kind of credible and, you know, you got to go with what someone says this is what they've experienced. So we try it, and we haven't had much luck yet, but I think that's good to be open-minded and keep fresh ideas coming in because,
yeah,
it gets to sale.
One of my, I always tell Mike, Jeff and Kevin, this is one of my dream investigations is we're like, we go to like, Waverly or something like that, but everybody's dressed up like animals, like, you know, like those big furry animal costumes. Cause I really want to know like, if, you know, what you're wearing has anything to do with the investigation at all. You know,
Martin, who and Kevin?
I just got really lost. Did you just talk about furries?
not trying to. I'm just, you know, using the costume as a
as an example.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Maybe, or maybe everybody went in as clowns or something, you know? But that would be, like, ultra scary.
Oh, God. That would be kind of freaky. That would be a great, sea horror movie. The clowns of Waverly Hills.
Could you imagine, like, the footage? Like, everybody looks like it at Waverly.
I'm so trying to figure out who this Jeff person is.
Oh yeah,
Jeff,
I'm Darth Earl. My bad.
Yeah, Darth. Whatever.
That's funny.
Darth Earl for at least a week.
Yeah, like colors. Like, what different colors can everybody wear in the group? If everybody wears white, does that make a difference? If everybody's wearing black, does that make a difference? You know, like, just different experiments. I mean, it may seem cuckoo, but who cares? If you try it, you log it, you say you did it, it's one off your process of elimination list, and that's what you should have. You should keep adding to that and crossing it off.
Isn't black like the standard issue team shirt color, you know?
I know, right?
Go
everything
ahead.
In black. Some,
go ahead and mark that off
dark.
On the first.
Gosh, really.
I think we need to change ours, Kevin, to lime green or neon green.
No.
So you guys walk around looking like that female Skittle or that female M&M.
How about neon yellow? Does that work?
Oh, my gosh. My goodness.
You know, one thing that through the investigations that we've done, we actually got an EVP at the Allen House in Arkansas. We were setting up our DVR system, one of the guys on the team at the time, he's you know, psychic medium, and he was picking up that the spirits there were getting kind of upset that we were putting cameras everywhere. And, you know, he told us, he goes, they don't like that. And I was like, well, I'll make a deal with them, you know, once we get started, that we'll run the DVR for part of the time, and then the other time we'll shut it down. But what was interesting is we got an EVP of one spirit going, hey, where's the camera? And the other spirit says, over there. And the first spirit goes, I'm out of here. And we got that EVP, and I was just like, holy crap, they know where the cameras are, you know?
Yeah.
And I wish somebody would develop, you know, because we have the IR lights, and through a lot of my friends that are psychic mediums and whatnot, we've had these discussions where, you know, it's real hard to catch a lot of paranormal activity on camera a lot of the times, right? It's a hit or miss, and I'm always wondering, do the spirits see those IR lights? You know, I've got EVPs that prove that, and if we're able to shoot in night shot where we're not blasting a ton of IR down, you know, in front of it, maybe we would have more success catching something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. I think we need somebody to develop a camera that operates in, like, negative 15 lux.
Wow.
Like,
yeah,
total,
I mean,
absence of light.
The whole spectrum itself, I mean, you know, just to say something could possibly exist in, like, the UV and the IR. I mean, there's so much more that we don't even have or can afford, whatever it is, the ability to have to be able to measure. I mean, if we had that kind of device, we could measure every type of light wave, sound wave, and see, you know, like set up a huge study, like SETI has, or, you know, just be able to combine that with.
Yeah, I know Gary Galka from DAS Distribution, the guy who makes like spirit boxes and millimeters and stuff like that. I talked to him a while back, and he said that they were actually experimenting with extreme UV, like they had to use these UV lights so strong that it had the ability to change your DNA, like so they had to do, like, use a lot of precaution and stuff like that. But they said when they were using cameras that sensitive, they were actually recording what looked like black bars would just, like, pop into the middle of a room. The black bar would get real big, and then it would just disappear and go away. And then they actually got like millimeter readings during the time of that the whole black bar thing. So it's pretty weird. It's like it's weird to, like, know what other people are studying and going on, you know, doing.
That's interesting to see what comes up in that spectrum when it's not, like, when the sun's not shining or so, you know, we're still getting that ultraviolet, you know, it's kind of a mystery all around what happens on this planet. And it's funny because this whole, since I've been young and a kid, into the whole paranormal investigation has led me down so many roads, from religion, which I came out of from this whole experience I had growing up, to science, back to religion, to science, to history, to archaeology, to anthropology, back to, I mean, the beginning of our Milky Way galaxy, how the solar system was formed. Yeah, this story unravels so big that my head honestly feels like it's going to explode. I feel like I should do nothing but sit in a field of flowers all day and just do nothing.
Yeah. Oh, man, I know. Especially, like, if you're, you know, like you said, you were big into studying about how our universe was formed and stuff like that. And then there's scientists that even talk about, like, all life on Earth could have come from debris from a comet. And you're like, whoa, I can't even fathom this right now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, it's interesting because... So they say that, and then you find other scientists who aren't in the mainstream because they won't be accepted. They're actually doing the research that is proof that those theories are correct, but those people, the masses of publicized science writing the abstracts and pushing them out to the media, they're not saying what these other people are finding. Like South Africa, the researchers down there, they have found what they call to be the first human city ever. It's over 200,000 years before BC.
Wow.
So, like, I mean, it's old, and this is the whole ancient astronaut. It ties back into that. You know, how did we have this missing link? And it actually ties into why we have Bigfoot and why we have Sasquatch. And, you know, they couldn't have gone extinct on their own. Those are pretty badass, if you don't mind me saying. You know, beasts, and what could have caused them to go extinct? We were still on the planet, and we didn't go extinct. So they're not extinct. They're probably still out there, just way out there, because they're smart and
right.
They want to be found. You know, it's just this whole, like, you go backwards in time, and you start walking forward, and you go, wow, why aren't we being told the truth about things? I mean, maybe this isn't the truth, but it feels right to me. It feels way more right than anything I've ever been taught growing up.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, I mean, stuff like the anti-Kythera computer that they found a while back is, like, you know, I think what they said was, like, some kind of star chart or, like, chart to show where any...
Oh, in the seas, they found the, under the ocean, they found that computer that's a couple thousand years old. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean... How can you get Sumerian tablets that talk about Pluto and way before, you know, we have this huge, you know, come the Egyptians, and then here comes the Bible, and everything goes on, and all of a sudden we have this age where people think the earth is flat, and
right.
The sun revolves around. It's like, how did we go backwards? And we have these records from thousands of years ago, and these people knew about the solar system. I mean, how does that happen? What the hell happened? That's what I want to know. That
right?
To me is,
I mean,
more paranormal than anything.
Yeah.
It's like there was some kind of like a period of knowledge where like it just all got lost, like, you know, and then they
exactly.
started at ground zero again, and they're like, okay, maybe this, you know, the earth isn't flat, and maybe we do go around the sun. And it's crazy. The more I read about
yeah.
it, that and I think they call it ooh parts, like out of place parts or something like that. That's
mm-hmm.
that's a pretty interesting read, because people have actually found like gold chains and like just weird stuff like that, like way down deep in coal mines. There's this one coal mine, they found a spark plug. They said, well, it wasn't, they can't say for sure it was a spark plug, but it resembled one. And they carbon dated it, and it was like 100,000 years old. So, like, how did this get down into a coal mine, you know, when they broke it open? So it's like, it's just weird, you know, how this world works and how things just end up in the weirdest places.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, going back to when, you know, we started coming around the second time as humanity started to, you know, figure out that the earth wasn't flat. I mean, it took the sun, we revolved around the sun, and all this stuff started happening again the second time around. Those people that made discoveries, a lot of them were killed and called heretics and against God. It makes you
oh, yeah,
think,
yeah.
And go, okay, so wait a minute. Who is this God that these other people are talking about? And what are they, who's behind this whole regime where they're trying to not let people understand what people thousands of years ago understood? Someone is behind that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean,
because that's just wrong, right?
Yeah, there's been a suppression of knowledge since, like, the, you know, the dawn of man.
Yeah.
I just wish that we didn't lose so much of it.
I know. I know, they say 90% of our DNA is just DNA, and I honestly don't. I think we were just switched off at a certain point, and because we were not made to know as much as our creators.
Right,
right. But yeah, that goes, you know, we talked about this before, Nally, about, you know, what the brain creates, especially when you have, you know, the recordings of people that had out-of-body experiences, you know, near-death experience, where they left their body, you know, and saw a white tunnel and all that, you know, and it produces, what is it that it produces they've discovered in the brain?
DMT?
Yeah.
DMT?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
From your pineal gland? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing that I will say I don't want to. I would like to try the natural ayahuasca, I think it's called, the tea, because it's supposed to take you to where you experience things that other people who've done it experience, the same beings, almost, not always, but similar experiences that people that have near-death experiences have. And you're supposed to be able to, it's like tricking your pineal gland by taking the tea to like give it an excess amount. So it's like infiltrating it, but this DMT exists in almost all living things on this planet. It's how most things that are biological communicate. It's how we know to go to bed when it's dark and get up when it's light. You know, it's life.
Yeah.
It's a life force. And I think it's something that we are being, like with the fluoride, I don't know if we talked about this last time, but like I found out that fluoride in our water is very, very bad for like your pineal gland. It actually calcifies, which makes it harder to access that part of your brain, which is responsible for releasing DMT, which you can actually release, like monks do it during meditation. When they achieve high levels of meditation, they can release that and have visions.
Nice.
But yeah, the stuff with GMO, a lot of things they're doing are deactivating things that people are waking up to. So kind of a scary time.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, I've actually talked about dimethyltryptamine a couple times because, you know, that is the one prominent chemical that is released from the brain at the moment of death, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's other people out there that take it recreationally. And you know, I don't condone drug use, and I just don't think that people should take drugs. But in the name of science, I would like somebody to just one time do an experiment with it and just explain what goes on, you know, during a DMT trip. And I watched a couple of videos. One, actual Joe Rogan, the guy that does Fear Factor, he's real big on DMT. And, man, to have him talk about it is like, whoa, this is like what he talks about is so crazy. And it's like so far out there. You're like, man, I cannot believe that somebody could experience something like this, you know. But, yeah, he said that colors in real time, everyday colors that you see are nothing compared to the colors that you see when you're on DMT.
Wow, yeah, it's very, you know, and that's another thing that's, it really sucks that society has done to us, or they have done to society, they being whoever's controlling this mess on this planet, which is sad. They may feel that doing things that are natural, like DMT, you can make a tea out of that. You don't have to use chemicals to make that. It comes from plants. You can use,
right.
I'm not condoning drug use, and see, that's the horrible thing. We're always backing ourselves up saying, this is a bad thing. These aren't bad things. These plants are put on this planet. They're here. They're things that our body can use to do things like this. So why are we being told we shouldn't? I mean, the bad stuff when people are going and using bleach and doing things that are horrible to get, well, that's bad for your body, of course. But things that are natural and that are here and that are okay, and been doing it for thousands of years, why are we suddenly being told that we're not supposed to do that? Because they don't
right.
want, I feel it, so they don't want us to have these experiences and start being aware and start sharing them with people. I think they're afraid of, an independent thought, independent mind.
Yeah. That's another thing. It's like, I don't understand why the government's like, marijuana is so horrible for you, but we'll go ahead and pass the Monsanto Protection Act.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that stuff is destroying people, you know. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll never get it.
Scary. It's the whole time we haven't been doing any our space program. I just know that we've been doing things in space. I mean, of course we have, and have this bad feeling that we've been. There's always things going on that we don't know about, and we're always more ahead, like 20, 30 years more ahead than we see. So who knows if we're already on Mars building something, and they're not going to show us. And how are we going to know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, does anybody have that great of a telescope where they can see the surface of Mars from their house?
Right.
Or from an observatory? I don't know. Maybe they do, but I don't think they do. And I don't think anybody that works at NASA is going to say anything.
And if you think about it, I mean, like, since the early 90s, the rate at which technology has accelerated, there has to be something going on that we don't know about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You don't go from a computer the size of your house to a smartphone that can pretty much do anything you've ever wanted on a computer in, like, 13 short years, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then, have you heard about the Mars trip thing?
The one way?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I think that's going to be interesting.
I think I'm submitting my application. I'm going to try.
You're
going to submit my application.
Oh, wow.
No, because, you know, they're going to take applications for, they say it's open for all of humanity, right? And there's
mm-hmm.
going to be no injustice. Like, they're just going to pick 40 people, and those 40 people are going to go to Mars, and it's going to be a one-way trip. And they're not going to bring you back, you know. You can go there, you're going to do experiments, they're going to, you know, in all honesty, the way they set it up, I'm like, you know what they're doing is they're going to turn this into, like, the craziest reality show ever. Like,
it
that's
is.
How I,
you know
yeah.
that that's what they're doing, right? They have someone,
yeah.
they have rights over in Britain for that whole thing, for the whole reality show part of it. Because I know they're looking for a couple to go over there. Too.
Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be like Big Brother on Mars. No.
Well, they're doing this reality show for like the preparation, the selection process, the training here on Earth, so that they can make money to fund the whole trip there.
Yeah, because I think the training is like 6 years. You have to train for six years before you're even able to get onto the plane to go. And then you're in space for 8 months to Mars.
Well, interesting thing is NASA, or there were some members of NASA who promoted an idea very, very, very similar to this, as far as the one-way thing goes, back when they were making plans to go to the moon.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yep.
Which right there makes you think that they've already gone through with this once before.
Right.
They're going to land and then get taken up by whoever's there already set up, ready to go, and these people are going to be guinea pigs. I feel bad saying that. But that's my gut feeling. It's horrible to think so, that, you know, someone's going to be there on planet watching them. They're not going to let them go off on their own and create their own little government and their own little... Because that's what you could... theoretically do. Who owns space? They haven't even figured that out yet.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, like, you know, one of the 40 people that get picked, right, could be a serial murderer, could kill 39 other people on Mars and never be convicted.
There's no law.
That's
the UN
insane
law,
to me.
I don't know if that applies to Mars. I know the moon it applies, but I don't know have they even figured all those logistics out yet? I'm sure, maybe, but like,
I mean, what's NASA going to do? Like, you know, email him back, "You've been sentenced to death." He's like, "Well, duh. I mean, I came to Mars."
Just shoot out the vacuum.
One of the things that actually bothers me about this one-way trip is, say, you know, they do this one-way trip. It's successful. They land on Mars. You know, they get their colonization thing going. What happens when the funding for the people on Mars runs out? Like, because, you know, they have to figure out a way to convert carbon dioxide into oxygen. So once that funding is gone, it's pretty much a death sentence.
I'm hoping that this comet that's coming by this fall will actually kickstart Mars. That would be so awesome if it did and just got that planet spinning again. Wouldn't that be great? Because it's going to make a pretty close pass and entrance into the solar system, Comet Icen.
Yeah. I'm getting ready for that because I'm big on photography, so I want to get like a really, really good shot of Comet Icen.
Yeah, it's going to be up there for a while, but it would be great to have, because Mars once spun and it had, you know, a good electromagnetic field. It actually held an atmosphere a lot better than it has right now. So
yeah,
it's just sad. Maybe whoever goes there can be, maybe whoever's listening, if anybody goes there listening, you know, kick up, do something with the core. restart the reactor.
Right.
The first thing you should do is get that thing going again. That's
how cool
your power.
How cool would it be to have, like, Comet Icen, like, you know, start, create the terraforming on Mars. And all of a sudden,
so awesome.
When they go 6 years from now, there's already plants and shit. You know, it's like crazy.
Oh, that would be pretty cool.
Oh man, that would be insane because it would tear apart it would tear apart all religion because all religion's based on the fact that, you know, we didn't come from space. And to know that another planet got terraformed because of a comet would be like, oh my God, what's going on?
Yep, because that's how they said we started, was the same way. Of course, other civilizations and other solar systems started similarly, and some of them advanced a lot further than us. And who's to say that we wouldn't go to some little planet and start doing our little, you know, genetic engineering with their creatures to do stuff? I mean, that's all that we're saying might have happened to us, which we have pretty good evidence of.
It's not out there.
We're doing it to a creature planet. So...
Yeah, I think we're getting to an age where our technology is going to surpass our capability to understand what we're doing, you know?
Yep, and that's so funny. That's what they say on that show Fringe that I'm watching. Our technology, one of the big companies in that show called Massive Dynamic, they make all the weapons technology for the world, I guess. And they said technology has gone beyond our ability to control it. I mean,
oh, that's That's just a scary thought to me.
It's scary because it gets in the hands of people you can't control anymore because people are getting smart. They're awakening. And just because people wake up and know what's going on, sometimes the people that wake up, you don't want those people to wake up because sometimes they're going to do something that's kind of scary. You don't know what they're going to do. So it's still a scary world even though people are waking up because you don't know what they're going to do with that.
Right.
That's what I think. It just kind of sucks because I hate to say it, I go back and forth with it, but just like territorial animals, we are still animals.
Yeah.
At the core, we are territorial. We want our space for our families, for our, you know, we're going to always be, we're never going to be a hippie society that's all peace and love. There's always going to be something.
No.
It doesn't have to be like this, like it is now, but.
Yeah.
Someone's going to be very angry over what's going on and do bad things. I mean, that's kind of starting to happen here in the U.S. too, and it's just going to get softening stuff. It's just going to get kind of scary before we get better.
Well,
yeah,
go ahead, Kevin. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, speaking of technology, you remember several weeks ago, North Korea was threatening to launch one of their rockets, and, you know, it was getting real intense. And then all of a sudden, our U.S. military, the Navy, revealed that they had a laser on one of their battleships, and they showed the video of them shooting down a drone with this laser. Then all of a sudden, North Korea shut the hell up. They're like, oh, shit, they got lasers now.
Right. But do
they
have sharks? They have sharks with lasers.
Well, the scary thing is didn't they just shoot? They just launched a satellite.
Oh yeah,
not
they
too
did.
Long ago. So what the heck's on that satellite? Who's monitoring that?
Yeah, and you know what's it doing in orbit? You know.
That's kind of the thing that just kind of concerns me right now. It's like they may be shutting, but the media may be just having us look somewhere else. Because maybe we should be worrying about them, and we're not. You know what I mean? Kind of the whole...
Yeah.
Have you seen the movie Wag the Dog?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's a great movie. It's a movie about the president. He has an affair, and so they make up this... They hire some directors in Hollywood to make up this war that's supposed to be going on, and they film it on a set, and they show it to the American public, and the Americans are like, oh, my God, we're at war. And they make it so real. Everybody thinks we're at war, but we're not. It's just made to distract from the president. It's a comedy, actually. It's made to distract from his affair with this, like, teenager or something from his wife. But it's so funny because it's so sad and true that that's what our media and our politics do. They steer us where they want us to look.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it really is like that because, you know, I was following the whole North Korea thing for a few, you know, for a few weeks, and I was like, oh, man. We're seconds from going to war, you know, that's how they make you feel. And then all of a sudden, out of left field, the Boston bombings happen. And then you're like, now all attention is on Boston bombings, and, you know, we totally forgot about Kim Jong, and, you know, what's going on with that. And
now it's Syria.
Now it's Syria. And then, you know, I think the media corporation, because it's controlled by three different companies, all channels and videos and everything you watch is controlled by three big corporations.
Well, Rockefeller Group's one of them.
And I think media is generated much like a child with ADD. You know, you're always this dog chasing this car, and as soon as that car goes by, you're like, another car comes, and you're like, okay, we're going to chase that car. And, yeah. And it's just, you know, it's crazy that we do that, but it's the sad truth.
That's what it's so nice to be able to sit outside of ourselves and see that we do that. Because when we see that we do that, we know that we can stop ourselves and we can think. And that's why a lot of people in this country now I just posted on my Facebook. I was surprised to see – I go on Drudge Report a lot for my news. I go on lots of sites, BBC, everything. But I usually Matt Drudge, who's got stuff up that's pretty quick. And I posted on Facebook because I was pretty shocked to hear that on July 4th, there's a radio host that's going to lead an armed march on Washington, D.C.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's actually he's posted this: libertarian activist and radio host Adam Kokesh plans to lead an armed march on Washington, D.C. on Independence Day. And he launched it on Facebook, and he's hoping to get more than 1,000 supporters. I mean, this is, like, out there on World News. So this should be guns loaded. They're going to march up to the White House. My goodness, I looked at this point. Are we having a civil war? Like, what's going on here?
While that's perfectly legal, you know, in textbook form, I would like to see how this pans out.
I'm curious. I want to see how this pan out, because you know what, they can't fire on these people. They can't, because they're not doing anything wrong.
Right. Now, I mean, it is. I mean, in the Constitution, it is legal to walk around with a gun in your hand, loaded. You know, as long as you have the ability to own a gun, you know,
mm-hmm.
they can't stop you for that. But you know, they will question you, and you know, unless you know your rights, then you know, you'll have that right taken away. But I'm real curious to see if this radio show host is going to stay alive until 4th of July.
I bet this is the last we'll ever hear of this post, too. That's why I posted on my Facebook. I'm like, I bet we'll never hear about this again.
Yeah.
We should get this dude's email and then, like, you know, keep tabs with him, because I want to see if this goes through.
Let's see if I can put some link in the window.
Now with the paranormal, I can't even think what I was going to ask.
Sorry, I do that to people.
Yeah. Well, with the paranormal, what y'all have been working on, what kind of spawned that idea from investigating? How did y'all decide to go in this direction and focus on the human element?
Probably watching too much TV, but not like TV, like a lot of X-Files. And Michelle and I watch like X-Files. I watch like, what's the show, Torchwood. I'm like Doctor Who. So that mad scientist aspect of like, what if? I mean, come on, you know, they say these things are just TV, but who knows? We could possibly do some of this stuff. Let's try it. Let's see what we can go for. Let's see how far we can get just by ourselves without any funding or whatever. Let's just try it. So that's pretty much what spurs us on, or just ideas and going, you know, and just thinking about things. Like, well, what if it's this and that, then this? A lot of our conversations end up like formulas, like programming. Like, if this, then that. If not, then this. So we go kind of by that.
Not going to lie, that's pretty much what keeps me in the paranormal nowadays, being able to experiment.
Well,
like
you know, I mentioned this to you before, Martin. You know, I'm still curious about one of those, for the Xbox, it's the Kinect, you know, where... And it sends out all those, that laser grid, right, where you can pick up your movements so that you can play the game. And I've heard of people that are playing, and someone else, you know, like they're playing against someone that's not there, right? So I would wonder if you could convert that somehow and put it in the paranormal field of the music.
If I'm not mistaken, I think Bill Chappell, the guy that makes the Ovilus, he tinkered with one, and I want to say during a Ghost Adventures episode, he displayed this device, and they actually got a spirit to wave at him, and they picked it up with the Kinect.
Yeah, I remember that. Crap. Yeah, it was a Ghost Adventures episode, and a spirit appeared on his computer screen using that Kinect, and since it was in a stick figure, it waved at him.
Man, that just gives me goosebumps.
It wasn't someone off, I mean, I know, I hate to ask this, but with TV shows, I always get weird, but there wasn't someone off camera that happened to be wearing the transmitters
or anything. That's another thing. that's another thing. Like, we will never know that, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
So that's always my, like, okay, we need to get, because I wanted to get my hand on one of these connects. I just, you know, after the last investment, I haven't been able to afford this one. Yeah, you know, because we, you know, of course, take it apart and tear it and rip it apart and solder crap together. But
we should see if Will still has a few of those extra ones. Kevin,
I think
extra?
He does.
Yeah, because Will a while back, this guy that we know, he stocked up on connects, and now he has like a bunch of them. If he has a few extra ones, I'm pretty sure he could work out a deal with you.
Yeah, I have to ask him. Yeah, because I'm curious about that and trying to develop that kind of idea in the paranormal. You know, and we were talking earlier about the human influence. We've been conducting an experiment. We've only done it once. We didn't get any responses the first time, but, you know, it's a hit and miss in the paranormal because you're dealing with human spirits for the most part. And they decide whether they want to talk or not and, you know, communicate with you. So you kind of have to do the same experience over and over and over again to see if you get any results. And then after a certain amount of time, then you can scrap the experiment. But I made some flashcards, and I wrote the questions on the front of these cards. I sealed them in an envelope, and then I got a couple members of my team to go to. We were in a hotel, abandoned hotel, and they went to one of the floors, and we set up a camera on a tripod, and I hand them the envelope, and they pulled the cards out, and they were all facing down, so that the investigator couldn't see the question, right? And they had to hold this card up to the camera so you could see the question on the video, and they just held it there. And basically, it's EVP, you know, questions you would ask in an EVP session. And the investigator said nothing. They just held up the card, and we wanted to see if we'd get a response. Because if the investigator that's asking the question kind of knows the answer through, you know, history of the building, mm-hmm. history of the building, all that and other, then how do we not know that they're influencing the results? So I basically came up with an experiment to take the human element out of the investigation to see if you still get results.
That's great. That's a great idea. That's really good. I like that. I'll try that. How'd it go?
We didn't get any responses, but, you know, like I said, we've only done it one time, so I want to keep doing it different locations and just kind of see what happens, you know? Because
mm-hmm.
I had a guest a while back that I talked to, and he's more on the scientific side of things in the paranormal field, and you know, me and him got into discussion of how a lot of teams out there they claim to be scientific. Oh, we're a scientific paranormal team, blah 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 blah. And their version of scientific is walking around with the mail meter, the K2 meter, you know, investigating. And that's not scientific. Scientific is going back to what we all learned in high school with the scientific method. You have to do it in the format, and you have to conduct an experiment in order for it to be scientific, right? As much as you
mm-hmm.
can. Now, in our field, it's a little bit harder because of all the variables that are involved. And trying a controlled environment is, you know, unless you're doing it in a laboratory, it's pretty much impossible. But we can get close as much as we can. And, it was funny. When I handed my team, I had four experiments set up for our last investigation a couple months ago, and it was all in the scientific format. It had a hypothesis, controls, equipment, you know, the whole procedure, the whole nine yards. And they were like, what's this? I said, we're going back to science, baby. We're going, this is how you do an experiment, you know? So they're like, well, this is cool, yeah. And I was like, well, you know, and if I write them down in this format and we have success with a certain experiment, then I already have it written down to pass on to another team to try it the same way we did. And see what they get.
Hmm. That's really, you have some really cool ideas. I like this. We should, like, you know what I think people should do is brainstorm more often with each other, different groups. Like,
I think we should
forums and share ideas that we can all test throughout, you know? Because
I think there should be a group of people that should get together with, you know, where money is no object. They should be able to, like, sit around, have tea, brainstorm, and then create the devices that they're talking about.
You know, isn't that what these conferences kind of used to be about? Like, meeting up and, like, coming up with what worked and seeing what didn't work and going back home with things that you might be able to do? We should have one of those types of conferences, you know?
Yeah.
Well, we're actually, we talked about that, and I did a conference last year, and it was a great success, but I wanted to make this year's conference even better with the fact that it's geared not only to the public for their part of the deal, but for all the teams that are coming, for all of us to get something out of it. Because, yeah, it's all fine and dandy to listen to the speakers that are talking to the public, right? But even the speakers are lecturing, they've geared their lecture towards people that may or may not be in the paranormal. So what we're doing is each team that I have coming to the conference is going to put on a class. I got 3 classrooms in this location, and we're going to be conducting class, and it's no public's going to be allowed in the classes. It's strictly one team teaching the other teams whatever they know, right? Different techniques, different ideas. So we're going to be doing that all day instead of sitting around listening to the folks that are talking to the public. We're going to be teaching each other stuff. And hopefully we all leave with more knowledge, more ideas, different things to try.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what I think? You know, this is, as far as technology and the paranormal, right, I think if we continue on with this, the Thomas Edison format, where it took him 1,000 tries to create a light bulb, right, If we get enough teams together or enough people that are building and building and building, eventually the odds are that somebody's going to create a device that will give you, like, 100%, you know, results that you are talking to some kind of being. Because I seriously think we're going to end up tapping into something that we have no idea what we're talking to, you know? Like, even now, I mean, we have no idea that we're even picking up EVPs from humans.
Exactly. See, that's my whole thing, is what are we talking to? What is it? This is, that was, I kind of, when we had the last Frontier Paracon, the West Coast con that we had up here, I was LA 2.0. That's right. I'm sorry. I get my conferences mixed up. The LA Paranormal Summit. That's right. I was talking about, we need to figure a little bit more, a few more good solid theories about what we're talking to, what we're experiencing. What is it? Is it not? I mean, we got to move away from dead grandpa, you know, from dead humans here, and see, is this something, what if there's some life energy, some other force, some other beings, you know, we've got animals we can see. What if there are very smart beings that we can't see that exist here with us? Just what if, just throw it out there, you know, what if they're interdimensional? We just have to entertain more theories of what these entities could be, and then come up with ways to test for that.
Yeah. I mean, I think about this all the time. It's like, you know, are we tapping in? Like, you know, there's teams that use Ghostbox, or there's teams that use Ovilus, or, you know, there's teams that use just traditional EVP. When they get results, like actual real results, are they talking to the departed, or are we talking to something like completely different? Like, is our universe bumping into another universe, and they just for that split second in time, we're able to communicate back and forth?
Yeah.
Excuse me. Ooh.
All right, sir?
Yeah, I swallowed wrong. Is that a cough for the last 2 days? So whenever I inhale,
Oh, man.
And drink. I'm actually laughing.
Hopefully we won't have to investigate, you know, your...
Hell no, I'm too mean to die.
You'll be at your location like, what was the last comment you were trying to say?
Ooh. Wow. Yeah, that was a jet squat. Excuse me. Yeah, it's been going around. I've had a cough and a congestion like last week.
Yeah, I've been the same way. I was the same way like 2 weeks ago.
Been there.
Yeah. I think me and Jeff were sick at the same time during the show.
Yeah.
We went. Oh, it was so rough, man.
Yeah. The first one you use your voice and you can't. It's a horrible feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of those dreams where you have to scream and you can't.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those are horrible. Oh, yeah. Excuse me. I tried to put it on mute as much as I could. It just hit that one part in my throat that's recovering. Okay. I'm sitting back down. All right. I'm sure that was fun. Everybody got to hear me choking almost after that.
Oh.
What in that?
You know what? One?
Well, I was going to say, Martin, that kind of goes back to... To me, to this day, those ghost box sessions that you did at your house and we were in a different location have just mind-boggled.
Yeah.
Still
yeah.
to this day, cause people talk about the human influence even on the ghost box, the spirit box. Well, when we're in a different location and you're 3 or 4 hours away from us, and you're asking the spirit box to give you specifics like town, state, the name of the location, who's there, all that stuff, and you're getting responses through the ghost box without talking to us and having no knowledge of where we were either. So you had no human input on that.
Yeah, that was a pretty amazing night, not going to lie. But... I guess we could explain it so she knows what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I've just got done with a 2 year a 2 year study with ghost box, because I'm that kind of person that, you know, if I get results with something, I want to know, am I getting actual results or am I just creating the results myself? And so I sat down and I ran a ghost box session every single day for 2 years, between 5 and 10 minutes, and then I would review the results and then publish the results, and let other people see, what I was getting. And and one day we got this idea where unknown, they were like, hey, we're going to go to this location, but we're not going to tell you where we're going. And the whole team stayed off of Facebook. Like, there was no way for me to know any where they were going at all, And so I told them, I was like, all right, well, when you get to your location, turn your ghost box on. I'll turn mine on, and then I'll see, how far the communication goes. And so they turned their ghost box on. They texted me. They're like, all right, see what you can find out. I was like, all right. So I turned my ghost box on, let it run for a few minutes, and then all of a sudden – the ghost box was like Louisiana. So I texted Mike from Unknown.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, are you guys in Louisiana? He's like, yeah. He's like, we need to know where we're at. He's like, okay. So I went back to the ghost box. I was like, okay, they agree that they're in Louisiana, but I want to know exact location. And then I got a message back that said Shreveport. So I went back to Mike. I was like, are you guys in Shreveport? Mike's like, yeah, that's better, but I want to know the name of the location. And so finally, you know, we get to the name of the location, and I was like, are you guys at the Logan Mansion? And from what I understand, Mike dropped his phone.
Yeah.
Not believe that I was able to not only get the state, the town, but the actual name of the location that they were investigating that night through a ghost box. So it was pretty crazy.
Wow. And that all came from words that were coming through the ghost box?
Yeah. It all came from words that were coming through the ghost box. I have this weird, I used to hate the ghost box. I used to like make fun of people that used the ghost box. But then one day something like happened, and like I started getting actual results from it. So I it's what spawned the whole study, my whole study on it, you know? And then now like I can turn a ghost box on, and then like I will hear my name called out a couple times, maybe like my last name. It's weird. Completely weird. People don't even believe me, but then I, you know, when I bring them over and I show them, you know, the results that I've been getting lately, they're like, holy crap, man.
I'm wondering, you know, you're talking about your own influence over things.
Uh-huh.
I know that you're saying that you tested it out. I wonder what it would be like to test two of them on at the same time, like one upstairs, one downstairs, one outside, because you'd be getting relatively the same radio signal, kind of. Mm-hmm. But have them wire them directly to a recorder.
Just to get the
recordings down and sync their starts up, and then listen back. So when you're, you know, when you're sitting there going, you can wire them out to the outside too, so you can kind of hear it in the room, but so it doesn't interfere with wherever else you have it on the property. But just somewhere where you know you're going to get kind of a consistent radio signal, like one radio station, just so you know that your signals are kind of the same. And see, as it's rotating through, are you getting the same results on all three recorders?
Yeah, that's something that I've always wanted to try, but I think I will have to buy, like, an actual ghost box for that, like, you know, like the PSP-7 or maybe just Shack, or do, like, a bunch of Shack hacks, because my ghost box I actually built from the ground up. Like, I had to, every capacitor that's on that board, I had to put in place.
Oh. Nice.
But, it's cool that I have one, but it sucks that I had to build it because it takes freaking forever.
God.
But
it's rewarding when you're done.
Yeah, it is. Now we have like this like weird love hate relationship. It's crazy because, you know, I can go to a location and I can actually come up with some pretty good results and stuff and, you know, stuff like that. But there, that ghost box, it does the weirdest things. There was one night we went to a location where a car fire had happened, and like some little kids had passed, not little kids, like teenagers passed away in this car fire, right? And that was the first night that we actually brought a medium out to see what, you know, what she was picking up at the location. And, you know, after we were done, we got in the cars, and I was pulling out of the parking lot to go home. My ghost box turned itself on and started scanning. And so, you know, I pulled out my camera and I was like, you know, I was talking to the camera. I was like, hey, you know, just so everybody knows, my ghost box turned itself on. And I just want to show you. And so I put the camera close to the ghost box and they caught a little bit of the scan. Well, right when my camera catches that scan, the only thing that comes to the ghost box is the word Michelle. Well, Michelle just happens to be the name of the medium that we brought out that night. So it's crazy, but I can't figure out how or why the ghost box even works, you know?
I mean, I understand the theory about intercepting audio frequency, I mean, it's the same thing similar to audio. Well, I guess an EVP would be different because it's not like a this disembodied voice that you're actually hearing as well.
Right.
But it's actually happening at the same time, but it's along those carrier waves that it's occurring. So it's riding those waves that are already existing rather than having to build its own to create an answer for you. If that makes any sense,
right.
Because you're already tuned in and you're receiving. So it's like, okay, well, I can ride in on this one maybe. rather than having to create the energy of making something to make a sound for you.
I think they call it transform EVP, if I'm not mistaken. It's where you provide an audio source, like, you know, it could be white noise or it could be the sound of traffic or water or something like that, and that they actually manipulate the sound wave between the source and your recorder, you know? But at the same time, I mean, I think that's maybe how it works a little bit, but for me, it doesn't explain how I could hear it in real time, you know, or unless something's being manipulated to my ears and I hear it real time like that. But
my theory would just be it would be a signal boost, but you know, because of it being amplified through an already existent wave that you're receiving.
And then,
that's just my theory.
There's another team, I think, I want to say they're called Ohio Paranormal. I could be wrong. But they actually created another form of ITC. And what they're doing is, like, say they're on their way to a location, right? Say they're going to Waverly Hills or something like that. They turn on a recorder, and they just have it recording all the way there, and they pick up all their conversations, you know, everything they talk about all the way to Waverly. And when they get to Waverly, they take that file and they actually reverse the audio. So even if you listen to it in real time, it's, you know, it has that weird reverse sound. It's like, they play that out loud during their EVP session. And what they found is that they're actually picking up results that are forward. Like, they're picking up, you know, something transforming the sound of reverse speech to normal speech. So it's pretty crazy. And they've actually been able to get like full paragraphs, not one word or two words.
Full paragraphs?
Yeah, like full paragraphs. And I listened to the YouTube video the other day. I'm like, wow, my mind is like completely, if this is real, my mind is completely blown.
Do you have a link to this?
Yeah, I think I do. Let's see if I can go publish it.
Can you message it to me? Or yeah, because I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, I could do that.
You know, and it's interesting because we've had EVPs where they've mimicked our voice, right? We've like asked a question or whatever, and then there's that pause. And then I've had two or three EVPs with my voice, right? And I wasn't talking. And it's interesting how that can happen. And there's been times on the recorder when you review that, when you're talking, it sounds like something is manipulating your voice. You sound, I know one, it sounds like I'm drunk. You know, you know, it's strung out and I'm talking real slow and it doesn't sound like me. And I'm like, how in the hell are they doing this?
You know, what we try to do, which sometimes we forget, is to set up an analog and a digital side-by-side, as well as multiple digital records, so we can actually go through, and if there's anything questionable on one of them, we can review it different formats that we had going that night in the same place. So it's not just, you know, we can eliminate the question of is it the integrity of the recorder itself or just, you know, the disc or whatever's on it. So you know what I mean? It kind of eliminates that.
Yeah.
It helps with cross-referencing. I mean, because we've had that too, and we're like, wow, what is that? What is that? We've gotten our hopes up so much. And it's like, you know what? We need to just set down one of each kind, a couple of each kind, and just process elimination again.
A while back, I had actually, we investigated a house for this lady. And one of the weird things that happened was, one of my investigators was like, he's real big into reviewing live. Like, you know, he'll do like 5 minutes recording and then step off into another room and review those 5 minutes, right? Well, during that live review, he came back. He's like, dude, he's like, you got to hear this, man. And when I listened to it, it was his voice, but it sounded like he was like saying something like, Micah, do Micah. He's like, I would never say that. He's like, I don't know what happened. He's like, maybe it's the recording, but I would never say that out loud. I was like, all right. I was like, you know what? Do me a favor. Take that, like, that little 3-4 second clip and reverse that. And then when he reversed it, it was this other guy's voice. He sounded completely different. It didn't even sound like him. And it was this guy. He was like, come in, come in. And then at the very end of that clip, there was like a little girl that was like, they're here to help. So I was like, what is going on? But I'm curious, have you ever gotten anything that you had to reverse and then it was like something completely different?
We've never really had anything that's come in reverse or that sounded like we needed to play it in reverse in order to see what it was. Because we've done so much audio that we've gotten to the point where we have so much that we have laid out that if it is questionable, we can usually dismiss it by all the other recorders that we have out. Like, this one had, it was by the doorway and there was some breeze blowing and it caught a little bit of it and it kind of set things off. So,
Yeah.
Those kind of things. So usually we're able to, but we haven't had anything where we've tried to play things backwards like that because,
All right, well, you've now been cursed because when I found out about reverse speech, now it seems like a lot more, it happens a lot more frequent. Like before when all I did was forward audio, that's just the EVPs I got. Now that I know about reverse speech, I'm like, I'll listen to recording, I'm like, oh man, this is reverse speech. Now I have to like flip it and it's like a completely different message. now that you know about it, it'll start coming in like that. It's crazy.
Interesting. Yeah. I know. I definitely want to do it more. I just I know about people doing that, humans doing that for their own, you know, needs and putting it in subliminal tracks of advertisements and things. I just haven't heard of communication from a spirit force coming in from in that format. I haven't experienced. We haven't experienced anything like that or something that would make us feel like it was coming in like that on ours.
Right.
We haven't.
When it happened to me and you know, that was the first time it happened to me, and I was like, oh, man. I was that, like, I really don't have OCD, but when it comes to audio, I do. So I'm like, oh, man, this is going to make me review all the audio I've ever captured just to see if anything's ever come in reverse. But,
yeah. It's going to be interesting, Martin, when hopefully you and Stacy and Jeremy and his team will be able to all come to Hill House Manor when we go, and because we're going to do a lot of crazy different experiments. We're going to try out your ion generator there too, because since last time it wasn't really functioning when we were there the last time. You had to work on it.
You know, that was the only building that ion generator did not work in. It was crazy. I don't understand. Like, maybe the wiring in that building is weird. But,
yeah.
I created a ion generator that actually throws out, like, I want to say, like, between 4 and 8 feet EMF in every direction.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's a positive ion generator. It's not negative. So, basically, what I'm trying to recreate is the effects of a thunderstorm.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, you know, EMF going in every direction in the room, and then positive ions just flooding this room. This thing, when you kick it on, and you leave the room, for about an hour, and then you come back, and you're like, oh my God! I'm like, you feel so overwhelmed by some kind of weird unknown force, but it's because of the ion generator, because the whole room is all staticked out, and the EMF is making you feel all funky. But
wow.
We've gotten some weird stuff with it. Like, usually, like, whenever we have that going and then come back into the room, we do an EVP session. My EVPs come through. I don't get more, but the ones that I do get are clearer and they're not so staticky sounding.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And, you know, I need to use your dead speak more often, Martin. And pump, you know, play EVPs through that.
Oh, yeah.
Martin created a device where you can hook a recorder up to, and so you got music from that time period of that location. You can play it through this device, and it'll convert it into EMF.
Yeah. That thing's pretty cool. I think it's cool because it's two-way. Like, you can not just record, like, something's producing EMF, you can record EMF through it. and then turn that into audio, or you can turn your audio into EMF. So it's two-way. It's pretty cool.
Well, that's pretty cool. That's actually really cool.
Yeah,
it's good that we're making our own attempts at moving forward in the field, because I think there's a big run when shows came out where people said, oh, we can make a lot of money selling all these things, and then that's just kind of died down. So
yeah,
it's up to us ourselves to come up with the theories and to come up with the methods to test these theories and develop on our shows, you know, share what we learn with the community. And I think that moving forward, advancing our civilization and finding out what all this stuff is, but it's critical to our survival.
I'm actually hoping that the period of the paranormal bandwagon is coming to a close. Like, because, you know,
yeah,
8 years ago when Ghost Hunters, or 10 years ago when Ghost Hunters first came out, you know, it was cool. Nobody's heard about it, or nobody was really talking about it. And then when they got real popular, everybody owned a paranormal team. I mean, you couldn't even walk to Walmart without running into a paranormal team, you know? And then now, it seems like it's kind of dying down, and those people that really weren't all that serious about the field are kind of jumping back out of it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's leaving more leeway for the people that really are serious about it and the people that really are trying to push that next level result. It's leaving those people behind, and that's what we really need in this field.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, you know, and just like any other person in the scientific community, conducting experiments and testing theories, you eventually will stumble across a new discovery, you know, going that
mm-hmm.
route. If you just do the same old like a lot of the teams do, you're never going to get any more than what you put in it, you know? And, you know, and if there are teams that are actually doing some of this stuff, I encourage them to share what they, if they come up with new theories. And I mean, I talk about my ideas on the radio. I don't care if every paranormal team out there tries what I, you know, the ideas that I've come up with. I encourage it. Just share the results that you get afterwards so that I can go, man, okay, well, that, you know, that worked. Let's try this, you know, that kind of thing. And if we do more of that interaction in the community, I think we're going to get better results and find out more. Either we're going to find out more answers, or we're going to be even more, get more questions in our minds. We're like, what in the hell? Now, how in the hell did you get that? You know?
as long as it keeps us moving towards the answer.
Yeah, for sure. One of the questions that was brought up to me here recently, it was at actually Unity Fest in Waxahachie. I talked to George Lopez of Dead Air, and when he asked me this question, I really had no answer to it. And I was like, you know, it really made me think. I had three sleepless nights over it. But what he said was, if you take Einstein, his method saying that energy cannot be created nor destroyed, right? He's like, but mm-hmm. if you think about it, you know, say, he's like, is there a force in the universe that is able to negate the effects of a spirit? Like, essentially, could you transform whatever energy that this spirit is putting off and transform it to where you just negate their existence, like pretty much destroying a soul, right? And I was like, dude,
mm-hmm.
I have no idea, man.
Isn't that like antimatter, antimatter? Like the
right,
that's what
right.
they're trying to do with the Large Hadron Collider. They're basically trying to create the beginning of the universe with the Big Bang, where nothing and everything is at once, and it just
because they cancel the each other's existence, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then when he asked me that, I'm like, man, I'm not going to be able to sleep for a week because I'm gonna be thinking about it.
Oh,
but
the
yeah.
things that keep us all up at night.
Yeah, right, right. But yeah, I mean, and if you get into quantum physics and quantum theory, there
mm-hmm.
has to be a negative version of that spirit. Not negative,
absolutely.
Like, you know, evil, but
the opposite.
Right.
A opposing force.
Exactly.
Yes, because you have to have a force against it. That's what, well, that's the whole Higgs boson thing was. What's the stuff in between? What's pushing against us to keep us from falling through? Like, what is this invisible force that we have?
Exactly.
That we can find, you know, that's what the, that's the anti, that's the, which goes back to the whole thing, if you take it, religion and good and evil, we need this good, we need this bad, it's so philosophical, it just freaking toasts your brain for, like you said, just a few days
yeah.
of no sleep, a few years of no sleep. It's like, you gotta have the good to have the bad, you gotta have the negative to have the positive, it's all balance.
Yep.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah. Definitely.
When it comes down to it, so.
Somewhere floating out there in the void of, you know, black matter, there has to be an anti-spirit somewhere. So.
Right.
There's a whole opposite universe. There's probably
yeah.
more than we can even think of.
Right.
Oh.
Now, what are some of the things that y'all are working on this year?
Well, we've had our lab kind of, our lab area under construction for a couple of months. So it's kind of been slow at the beginning of this year. So we're trying to pick back up on the EEG chip, which we want to build as concise as we can, a whole biorhythm measurement device that could measure as many things as we can from the body. And then another device, of course, that would do an external environmental measurement. And then piggyback those together to a unified one central, you know, here's what we got for the investigation for this amount of time from the person, the people involved, and hey, don't meow at me. And sorry. And so we really want to make sure we cover the most areas that we can with the human and the environment this year. We'd like to get that done and underway. So once we finish construction, we can start back up.
Nice.
That's awesome. Now, what in your experiences being out in the field, what was one of the craziest experiences you've had in the paranormal?
The craziest experiences?
Yeah.
Well, none of them have been really crazy. Some of them have been head scratchers for sure. where I just to this day have gone, what the heck? I don't know, because I had a video camera and a recorder. Of course, that's the reason why I have more recorders out. I had a case. I worked for a police officer who lived in Merced Valley, or actually Canyon Lake up by the lake, and had recently moved into a property there and had a lot of activity, he said. He didn't initially believe in a lot of the stuff, but it was said that his wife and his two kids would not sleep there at night. And so we went out there to try and see what was going on. And through the investigation, we really didn't encounter much as far as things that were weird. It was going through evidence review, when we saw on what we heard on the video camera and on an audio recorder that was in the living room across the room from the video camera, we heard, picked up on both, a voice saying, and mind you, the video camera is filming us walking away and out of this room and all the way down the hall and then to the right and then all the way down that hall, and we go into a little bedroom to do a new session. So we're off in the distance, right next to the camera, and on the recorder you can hear it too, that it was closer to the camera. It says, "Touch me, do it again, yeah." And I'm like, what?
Wow.
What the heck is this? Because I've never had an EVP like that. That was just, I mean, I was sitting there going, okay, this guy's a cop. Is he messing with me? I mean, he had an alarm system on his house, and it was all secure, so it would have beeped if someone would have come in. And his family wasn't there. It was just him and my investigators. So it was just the creepiest thing to come across that, you know, a week after we investigated there, because we really didn't get that much on the investigation. We didn't feel like we did. It was like, nothing really here. Nothing's really going on. We believe what you've said, but it doesn't feel like there's really anything going on. There's weird stuff in the basement. You know, the people who owned the house, because they were renting, had some furniture put in the basement that was old. So, yeah, it was old and creepy, but we didn't feel that much going on. And then I get that EVP. It was just like, what the hell? Did you have somebody come over? And, you know, you don't want to question your client and say, were you messing with us? But, yeah, of course, I trust him enough that, you know, he wasn't, of course, messing with us. But it was something very weird, and I think that maybe that negative, just that negative emotion or energy that people in that field experience, law enforcement, and especially law enforcement, where they're witnessing horrible things happen and deaths and things, they bring that home with them, I think, if they're very emotional people, and that home with them, just that vibe, just that feeling, and I think that just that energy emanating outward and makes other people feel off. You know, just like you feel off when you have an EM pump in a room. You just feel kind of, like there's just too much going on here. I need to leave. And so I just think that maybe he worked graveyard with a canine. So, you know, when dead bodies are found, he's the first one to get called out. And it's, you know, midnight. So it's not pretty. He doesn't see good things in his job, in his line of work. So it's just really sad. Because I think that's, it kind of wraps itself up as just a really bad imprint of bad energy, and it could have been stuck in his thoughts. Like,
wow.
Touch him, do it again. Yeah, like I could just imagine him like saying that to someone who was trying to arrest that was fighting him. You know, like touch me, come on, do it again. Like, you
right,
know, or,
right.
You know, just something like if that was something in his head that was an impression that was made so strong in that house onto the recorders. I mean, I could see that.
You know, that's what's crazy too. Is when you run across EVP that they have personality to them. You know, it's not your everyday like hey or you know get out or you know whatever. But when you get that one EVP where you could tell there's a personality behind the voice, you're like, oh my god, you know,
it's got an attitude.
That's kind of like the. Let's see if I still have it on here. Where is it? No, I have it. It's under. Oh, there it is. I found it. Just like this one here, we're at home base, and I'm talking to my dad who sits in front of the monitor and watches the DVR cameras, and I say something to him and he says oh, and then a spirit chimes in. I play it.
You got 30 there. Oh,
did you hear
it? Yeah, like at the after he said oh, it goes shh, or something like that, like a whisper. It says what?
It said shit.
Yeah, because I'm like, shh, like, yeah, very, shh, like you could hear, yeah, huh? Wow.
You know, they have a sense of humor. You know, Dad says, oh, and the spirit says, shit. So, you know, it's crazy how they do stuff like that.
Oh.
Well, they make fun of Jeff. We've had a spirit make fun of Jeff numerous times at that location.
Oh, that wasn't funny. Was not funny.
I think it's the darkest, craziest place. I won't say we were investigating with cameras or anything official. We just kind of went there to check it out. What I came on tonight and first talked about was that Hotel Cecil. That place.
Oh yeah.
Honestly, if it was investigated, first of all, the Night Stalker stayed there for a large portion of his time when he was killing people. There was another serial killer who had stayed there for a while and had actually killed several victims in the area. Many people have jumped to their deaths from the roof of that hotel. This is a bad hotel. I mean, this is not just like, oh, it's downtown L.A. and it's just got lots of homeless on Skid Row and it feels creepy. Because I grew up in L.A. I used to walk those streets growing up, not bad in a bad way. I was a Jehovah's Witness, so we had to give out the watchtowers and awake. So that's what I did when I was young. In downtown L.A., so I'm very familiar with that area, and this building does not feel like it belongs on this planet. It just feels like it's just a soul eater, a soul crusher, just bad. Bad news, you go in there, you just don't come out if you've got a weak soul. sad. I think that needs to be investigated. I mean, just the feeling I got through there. Even Michelle had a horrible headache when we got out of the building. And, yeah, she, yeah, doesn't get affected physically by much. And we both were like, ugh, we feel drained. It's horrible.
Right. Yeah, kind of like Linda Vista. And I feel bad for the folks since they're turning part of that location into a retirement home.
Oh,
I'm kind of feel bad for the people that are going to be living there.
I was thinking
yeah.
that too. Poor people. They're not going to believe them. They're going to say, oh, you're just seeing things. Here's more, you know, antipsychotics.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Honestly, this Hotel Cecil with people living in it made me feel like I would feel better at Linda Vista sleeping, like, you know, in the basement by the incineraries where the bodies. I would be perfectly fine there in the dark by myself.
Man,
I'd rather
yeah,
be there than in the hotel with people.
That's
how bad that place felt, honestly.
Yeah.
It was just wrong. Like, people. Oh, I've never felt that before.
Yeah, isn't it weird when you can go into a location and get that kind of feeling?
I've never
just
had that
in.
Happen like this ever. I mean, I've always felt kind of like, ooh, this place is creepy, or ooh, ew, it's dirty, it's creepy. But this was like my soul for like days after, like my heart just felt horrible. I just felt like weighed down. I was like, this is fucking, I had dreams about the place. It was like, oh, it affected me bad. It really did. It's like I go up there to record once a week about 3 streets down from where the hotel is. And I went last week after the weekend that we went up there, and I was driving. The minute I got off the exit on 4th Street, I was like, oh, the building, it's there. It just
oh,
gave
wow.
me anxiety just getting off the exit. It was the weirdest feeling. It just, ah, I don't know.
Yeah, you have to keep your fingers crossed. I'm working on getting a abandoned hospital here in Texas. It's 65,000 square feet, 2 stories,
oh, wow.
and it's active. We've investigated it. So I'm working on getting that and turning it into a place for paranormal teams to do research in.
That's awesome. That's cool.
Yeah. You need to give me access to it, Kevin, here sometime soon so I can go do some photography.
Hell yeah. Yep. Well, we're down to the last show. What we got left? 7 minutes of the show. So, Natalie, throw out websites, whatever
sure.
you want to. Are you you still doing the band thing, too?
Yeah, we're off and on. We just got back together. We got a new bass player. That seems to be the hot seat in our band. Bass players come and go. We love our last bass player. She left, fell in love, and she's having a baby, and she's out in Arizona, and we're happy for her. So we have a new bass player. She's from Hungary. She's only been here for 2 years, and her name's Linda. And we are coming along pretty well. So hopefully in the next couple of months we'll be doing shows. And I need to get us online a little bit better. We're on Reverb Nation and on SoundCloud, if you look up Pretty in Stereo. And then
oh, nice.
For the Paranormal Group, if you look up upio.org, or facebook.com/upio.org, like Unexplained Phenomena Investigation Organization. That's a mouthful. So, upio.org.
That's awesome. It's always a fun time talking to you, Natalie.
Oh, well, thank you. It's a fun time being on your show. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah.
You're welcome. You have a good night, and I'll be in contact. See how things are going in your neck of the woods with your experiment.
All righty. Well, that sounds good.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll send you a message with a link to that other group.
Oh, yeah,
out.
Please do. I'd like to check that out for sure.
Okay, cool. Sounds good.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Right.
You guys have a good night.
All right.
Good night.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye. All right. That was Natalie Poole. You have to check her out. I told you, dude, she knows her shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's crazy. That's pretty they're cool. doing that. They got a lab, and they're going to be testing, you know,
yeah,
humans.
Yeah, I want to see some, I don't want to see results. I mean, I want to see where they go with this EEG chip idea. I think it would be really cool if they could, you know, get together and pull that off and then pull off the exterior environment ordeal. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
That'd be all right.
Yeah, because that was one of the things I was talking about to you, Kevin, about the hospital. It's like if you could get something that measured the environment and then just have it running real-time 24-7, you know? That way if the team was like, oh, well, we got an EVP right here, and you just run back to the file, and you're like, well, 10-17, you know, this happened, you know? I think it'd be
pretty good. that's what I want to get to once it opens and there's money coming in towards the hospital, is eventually set up a command center, you know, with devices that are planted all throughout the hospital, and everything's monitored, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
it's all recorded when, you know, because for right now, the once it opens, it's only going to be open on weekends. So you got 5 days a week that no one's going to be in the building, that we could be recording environmental changes and things going on in the building.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Because why not, dude? You know, if you got a location like that, why not use it to the fullest and
right.
try to gain some more knowledge? If there's nobody in the building, no humans in the building, it's locked down, then why in the hell are we getting these kind of results, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those ordeals where it would be counterproductive to not do it, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. So that's where I want to go with it eventually. It's just a matter of getting a hold of the building, but once we do that, I want to be able to put devices in there and talk to different people in the field and get the best software and different things to monitor the place. And,
you know,
think about it. It'd be like Christmas every time you go to the building. You'd be like, okay, what did we catch this time?
You know, the first thing you need to get, if you get the hospital, is you need to buy a golf cart so I can, you know, drive around the hallways and go from one location to the next.
Get me a
yeah,
second.
We, yeah.
That's
yeah.
so funny. Can you imagine me getting stuck in an elevator with a stupid golf cart? Can't figure out how to get out.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, Jeff, you've been kind of quiet. You got a kolache in your mouth?
No, my medication
has
kicked in.
One of those, what is it, a 2-foot-long kolache you had?
Oh, it's a Texan.
Yeah.
Only available here in Gatesville, folks.
Yeah. let's see, who we got on the lineup for next weekend?
I don't know.
We have Monica Rollins, who is a Bigfoot hunter. She's out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Nice.
So we're gonna talk Sasquatch next week.
Sounds good, man. It'd be cool to talk about some Sasquatching.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, Natalie, it's a Bigfoot hunter. She put in the chat, a what? And let's see, on Tuesday, we have Kathy Nance on Terrify Radio out of Woodlands Paranormal, a good friend of mine. So it'll be good to talk to her. The lineup for this week tomorrow is Into the Darkness Radio with Matt and Brittany. And then Tuesday is myself and Jody Parks. Wednesday is Full Spectrum Radio with Matt and Dennis. Thursday is Ghost Hunting Texas Style with Kevin and Justin, and Friday is Paranormal Access Radio with Chris. So, exactly. That's what we got going on the Unknown Radio Network. And we're down to about 30 seconds. Anybody else got anything?
Nope. Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo. Hell yeah.
All right.
But anyway, everybody have a... Oh, next week, next Sunday will be Mother's Day. So, Jeff, you need to come up with something.
Oh, yeah.
I'll see what I can do.
All right. Well, everybody have a good night.
Have a good night, everybody.
Have a good evening.